Jim, were you born in Wyoming?
I was born in Rock Springs, and that still remains my home after 70 years.
And tell us about your family history, the McGagnas.
Well, on the McGagnas side of the family, my grandfather and grandmother actually were not married at the time. Both came from the Tyrolean Alps in Italy. At that time, it was actually part of Austria. Like so many ethnic people that came to Rock Springs, some of their family had come ahead of them based on the coal mining that was taking place over there at that time.
So that would have been around the 1900s?
That would have been early 1900s. I believe my grandfather came over the first time in about 1898 and then went back and came back a second time two or three years later.
So Rock Springs was already established to a certain extent?
Pretty well established as a coal mining town to support the railroad. It was established when the UP originally went through.
Okay. What was your childhood like growing up?
Well, my childhood was all associated with ranching. Actually, my grandfather got started a little bit in ranching, and that's another story we can talk about. And then my dad took it over. And so when I grew up, I actually grew up in Rock Springs. The nature of ranching over there was and still is for sheep ranching today somewhat nomadic. So a lot of operations, including ours, headquartered out of Rock Springs and then had summer headquarters elsewhere. So lived in Rock Springs, grew up, went through high school in Rock Springs, but spent most of my spare time not competing in sports or doing what a lot of young people do growing up, but going to the ranch or working on projects associated with the ranch.
So there wasn't a lot of extra time.
There was not a lot of extra time, no.
Who were some of your favorite? Did you have more than your immediate family living in the area?
At one time had a number of relatives there, more on my grandmother's side and on my mother's side than on the McGagnas side of the family. Although it was kind of interesting, my dad's name was Adolf, and there was another Adolf McGagna who lived in Superior, which is only about 18 miles away, Adolf McGagna. So they're used to, unrelated, but used to be a little confusion as between the two families.
Tell us a little bit more about your parents as you were growing up and kind of your relationship with your parents, and did you have siblings?
I did not. I was an only child, but had a great relationship with my parents. My dad was busy in ranching all the time. My mother was basically a homemaker, and she didn't work outside of the home. Both had, particularly my mother's, had fairly large families in Rock Springs, all of them. So I was spoiled, some might say, by a lot of aunts and uncles growing up.
Nothing wrong with that. What are some of your best memories of growing up at that time?
Oh, certainly the times in the summer spent out on the ranch. When I was, I believe, five, my dad gave me my first saddle, which I still have today, and I don't fit in it anymore. But and so I spent my summers out there and really ran around with him all the time. And that's early childhood, that's the best memories. I started out in the public schools over there in the first grade, and when I was ready to go into the third grade, they established a Catholic school in Rock Springs. I switched over to that, was one of the first classes there, and through the eighth grade. And that was a great experience, and I guess I have memories both of the fun times there, certainly some of the religious pageantry that I participated in, but I would never forego the memories of some of those nuns in their black habits that were running around with their rulers making sure you behaved.
Are there traditions that have been passed down over the years with your family?
There are a number of traditions. I think probably the traditions from my mother's family, and her family was actually from then Yugoslavia, what is today Slovenia. And in terms of family traditions, those probably tended to prevail more in our family than those from my dad's side of the family. But things around traditional holidays, the types of foods that my grandmother and my mother prepared for holidays, which I still do today, I've tried to keep a lot of those traditions alive as I've gone through life, and those are probably some of the more meaningful things that allow me to maintain some connection to my ethnic heritages.
So there's some Italian recipes, I'm guessing, in the...
There are some. I don't know about all the Italian recipes, but yeah. Slovenian recipes, probably the most famous that's kind of known all over, is the petitsa that's made for Christmas time, rolled nut bread. I got into that myself, and I make those every year for Christmas. There are a few other dishes, maybe not as prominent, but that certainly is a part of the heritage.
Tell us about when you first started ranching. Once you became an adult and continued the operation?
Well, it was rather sudden and unexpected, frankly. Fortunately, I'd been out around the ranch all my years of growing up. Through high school, spent my summers up in the mountains, a horseback riding from one sheep camp to another, counting sheep and providing supplies to sheep herders. And if I back up just a little, my dad ended up running the ranch when he was 19, and my grandfather passed away at that point. Mm-hmm. I ended up running the ranch when I was 20, and my dad passed away. At the time, I was in college. And I took a semester off, came home, and got things organized a little. Was able to bring back to the ranch a gentleman who had worked for us some years previously to kind of take over the day-to-day management to allow me to get my college degree and then go on to law school for 3 years before I came home and started ranching permanently. But I think with hindsight, there were some things that really are meaningful to me today that my dad did, neither of us knowing what was going to happen, that prepared me for it. From early age, he involved me not just in doing the work, but in being a part of the decision-making. And a favorite memory of mine, perhaps above all others, is when I was 15 at the time, my grandmother passed away, my dad's mother. And so he took off from the ranch. This was in the summer, to go to town to work on funeral arrangements and that. And he basically left me in charge and gave me some instructions to give to some of the workers. And this one worker, who was actually one of our key people, just refused to do what I told him he needed to be doing and said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this other. And he was being rather obstinate about it. So at 15 years old, I said, well, if you're doing that, then you're fired. When we went to town, I took him with me, and we stopped in front of the house. My dad came out, and this worker looked at him and kind of laughed and giggled and said, the kid said he fired me. And my dad looked at him right straight in the eye and said, well, he fired you, you're fired.
That's correct.
And that gave me some trust and confidence as a decision maker that I think has been with me all my life.
Did you attend the University of Wyoming?
I did not. I got my undergraduate degree from the University of Notre Dame in business administration, and then when I went to Notre Dame, prior to that, the furthest east I'd ever been was Cheyenne, Wyoming. So after 4 years at Notre Dame, which I loved, but I was ready to head west, so I went out to Stanford and got my law degree.
Okay, great. Did you marry?
I did not. No, okay. I'm single to this day.
Good for you.
Had some great relationships, but marriage didn't result.
Did you ever serve in the military?
I did not. No, when I was in law school, I was called to serve in the Vietnam War. But because I was the sole breadwinner in the family, the manager of the ranch, I was deferred from that.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the challenges early on at the ranch. Some of the things that you maybe weren't expecting that you had to work around.
I'm not sure that I wasn't expecting, but certainly, as I mentioned earlier, we're a sheep operation, and sheep operations, particularly in western Wyoming, where we run largely on federal lands, don't have much fencing. They're very labor intensive, so maintaining a good, strong labor force was not only at the beginning, but through all the years that I've stayed very actively engaged, and even today, is a big challenge. And as I grew up in the ranching operation, we had an outstanding crew of sheep herders, most of whom were Americans of Hispanic origin that came out of New Mexico following World War II, and just wonderful people. We had two people come to my mind. One gentleman who started with my grandfather, finally retired with me. He'd worked for us for 54 years, another one 52 years. Great memories. But about the time that I ended up taking over was a transition time in that those people all had gotten up to retirement age and we were losing them. And we were just starting into the era of bringing over the best sheep herders from Spain and France. So I had to make that adjustment to working with a whole new group of people, and I've made it a couple of times since when the Basque people, that source sort of dried up. We moved on, and today most of our workers come from either Peru or Chile.
And the adjustment or the transition for those workers, has that been relatively smooth?
I think for the most part it has been, because the people that we bring in are those who have grown up on small farms and ranches in their own countries. The biggest challenge to them is that they may have been dealing with a little flock of 75 to 150 head of sheep, and we bring them over here and suddenly put them out with 2,500. And so that's a transition for mm-hmm. them of dealing in terms of size. But the fundamental knowledge and the the desire to work with animals and that was sort of really inbred in their culture and made it work well.
With herds of that size, do you use herd animals as well, dogs?
We've always used herding dogs, yeah. Primarily border collies, sometimes some Australian shepherd dogs, and we continue that. About 15, 18 years ago now, we started getting into the use of guard dogs to protect the sheep from predators. That was a challenge for me. It was even more of a challenge for these herders who weren't used to that. It turned out to be a real blessing because we had reached a point in my operation and certainly in those of many others where the loss of sheep to predators, coyotes primarily, was reaching the point that it was not only financially sustainable to stay in the business. And that was about the time that we were introduced to these guard dogs. We now use them heavily, and it has really minimized our loss to coyotes. Now, we're facing some new challenges today with the oncoming of grizzly bears and wolves and that, and those dogs are somewhat helpful, but they're not really suited to those larger predators. So there's some experimenting going on today. I haven't tried it yet, but some neighbors have, with some new breeds of dogs from Europe and Asia that are bigger, stronger, and at least over there have been successful in defending against those very large predators.
Is there a specific breed of dog for your guard dogs that you're currently using, or is it?
There are several breeds available. We, and I think most people, started out with the Great Pyrenees dogs because some of our workers were familiar with those from over in Spain and France. They were good, but then as we got into it and other breeds were brought in, we've gotten into a couple of other breeds. I use a breed called the Comedores, and if I recall, those came in from Eastern Europe somewhere. And there's a couple of other breeds, too, that I've had off and on, whose names I don't recall right now, that have been a little bit better because they're a little more agile, a little quicker dogs than the Great Pyrenees were.
Is there much training involved with those dogs, or is it much of it come naturally?
It really comes naturally, and the only training is getting them out with the sheep. And the best thing is to put them with some small lambs or something when there's pups. You know, once in a while you'll get one that turns out to be something else that doesn't want to be out with the sheep. But most of them, it's just very natural.
That's interesting. Tell us about your memories of the Wyoming State Fair. Have you attended on many occasions over the years?
You know, I did not in my childhood. The nature of our operation, as I explained it before, was such that we just did nothing but ranch in the summer. I was not involved in 4-H or FFA, even though I was a ranch kid, so to speak. And the first time I believe that I have ever attended a state fair was in the mid-1980s when I was appointed to the Board of Agriculture, and that was one of our duties, was to be in Douglas for the week of state fair. So I certainly did it then. Then got away from it a little bit as I did some other things, and in the work I'm doing now, I've been pretty faithful in attending probably for the last 20 years.
That's great. What are you most proud of over the years with your operation?
In a broad sense, just being able to have stayed in the sheep business for now 50 years, been able to survive in it financially, economically, because it went through some very difficult times. I watched a lot of my neighbors go out of business as the various strains came upon them. And while I didn't become wealthy in it, I was able to keep it working. The other thing that I suppose, in terms of that business, that I feel best about is the relationship that I developed with all of these workers I brought in, really treated them as brothers virtually and gave them a lot of freedom, involved them in decision making. I often felt that the crew that I had working for me, and it ranged to as high as 25 workers at some time on the ranch, that I would put them up against anybody's team of workers. And I think I learned as much as they did from that. And in the last 15 years, as I've gotten into other things, and particularly my position right now where I'm the executive of the Wyoming Stock Growers Association, the way I treat my help in the office and work with them is reflective of what I learned working with those foreign workers all those years, and I think it's a method that works well.
What advice would you give the next generation of people working in ranching, whether it's in sheep or any agricultural-based operations?
Well, I'm glad you kept that fairly broad because, unfortunately and sadly, we've seen such a decline in the sheep industry throughout the West. And in Wyoming, I think in the early 1950s, there were more sheep in the state of Wyoming than there are in the United States today. And I can recall when we had 5 to 6 million head. Today we have, I believe, somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 head. So it's been a steep decline. Fortunately, not all, but most of those lands have remained in ranching and simply involved conversions from sheep to cattle. And so my advice to young people coming into the business today, I think, would fall into a couple of areas. One, yes, ranching is a way of life, and it can be a wonderful way of life, not an easy one, but a very rewarding one for you and for your family. But don't forget that it's also a business. And as you're getting your education, whether it's formal education in college or just practical education, don't focus just on the production part of ranching. You need to be knowledgeable in the financial aspects of ranching. You need to be knowledgeable and able to function in the legal aspects of ranching. And, you know, based on my own education, yes, there have been a few times when I really wished that I had gone to a college of agriculture and gotten a degree in animal husbandry or in range management, and there are some skills I lack there, but they're available to me from other sources. But I firmly believe that the education I did receive, the formal education in business and in law, has been extremely valuable to me as a rancher.
That's great. Any other comments?
We celebrated our centennial in 2009. As I understand it, and this is what's been told to me by my dad, an uncle, an aunt, and I haven't been able to verify it all, but somewhat of a lark that we got into it. When my grandfather on my dad's side came over here, as I said, Rock Spring was a coal mining town. He didn't actually work in the coal mines, but he did end up as partially owning, initially working for them, partially owning a butcher shop, where they not only sold meat, but they slaughtered animals and processed it and that. And at least the story I am told is that at a particular point in time in the early 1900s, someone who owned a small flock of sheep south of Rock Springs had done quite a little business with them of having animals slaughtered, maybe purchasing meat, and was unable to pay their bill, so they just turned over the sheep. And I don't know how many sheep this was or anything. So meanwhile, some cousins and a brother of my grandmother's had homesteaded a couple of small parcels of land up just outside of South Pass City. And I don't believe they homesteaded hoping for a fortune from gold mining. I think it was just at the end of that era, and it was just land ownership. And so he made a deal, and they took this few sheep up there. And that was the beginning of the ranching operation.
It's interesting that it happened like that.
It happened somewhat by chance, yeah. And I've never verified that, but we have a somewhat unique brand, the sheep brand, that's an AB, an interconnected AB. And again, I was told that the reason we have an AB is because the gentleman who originally had these sheep that turned them over, turned the brand over with him, and his name was Abe. So that's where the AB came from. So that's, you know, somewhat of a chance that we got into it. But we've remained in it for 100 years. I'm in it in a much lesser way today in the last 20 years as I've gotten involved in a number of other pursuits that I wanted to be involved in. I still do some ranching. I have a good fortune of having a manager on the ranch with me who originally came from Spain, who's been with me for 39 years now, so kept up that tradition of having long-term employees, which is, I think, a blessing to any business, particularly in this day and age.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Jim. Anything
else you'd
like to add?
You know, I think I'll add a word of encouragement to young people in Wyoming or anywhere that I believe that there still is a great future in ranching. And, yes, we have challenges. Our forefathers had them. Those were a little different than the ones we have today. But I think we can work together and overcome them. And if people have it in their heart to want to be involved in ranching or in agriculture in any way, particularly in Wyoming today, I say go for it. And those of us who've been at it for many years are here ready to help you get started.
There's a good support group here.
Yes, there really is.
Indeed. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Jim. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
That was great.